Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn McGeek from Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 16th, 2012, episode 339, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning. It's Thursday. Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, good morning, everybody. Jamie is off sick today. Her cold got worse. I talked to her early this morning, and she sounded terrible, not the kind of person you would want to listen to on the radio for an hour and a half. So she's hoping to get off to the doctor to get that fixed up. So it's just Jennifer and I for a little bit here. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you? I haven't seen you in forever.
I know, since 10 minutes ago. And for those that don't know, Jennifer and I are married. We kind of live in the same house, and the studios are in the same house. So, but we did give a call to Dr. Wendy Ying, co-host of the Driving Radio Show. She'll be joining us here in a bit. She had to get to the office and get her studio set up so she could call in. So we'll be talking to her in a little bit. Plus, Jennifer, we have a ton of guests today, don't we?
We are busy, busy, busy today. So on today's Easy Signs Online Thursday edition, the Retired Racehorse Training Challenge opens the show again today, as it did yesterday, with Tiffany Catledge, who is the trainer of Solidify. I believe Solidify and Four Times the Trouble went for a hack together yesterday, so we'll find out how that went. Next up, another challenge, this one of the dual discipline sort. Brad Pa is here by stopping by to tell us about the Florida Equine Challenge, where 10 English and 10 Western stars of their respective disciplines switch teams, so to speak, in a fantastic cow sort and show jumping competition to benefit the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And being Thursday and all, Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horses here to challenge some current fashion trends and relive some great ones gone by. So stay tuned.
All right, very good. And I just got a text from Wendy that she's stuck in traffic. So it looks like it's you and I for a while.
I love it.
She's down there in Florida traffic, and you know how things are. When you live in Sarasota, Florida, traffic moves pretty slow. The general age is
slow.
Yeah, the average age of the population down there is probably 85. So we'll hear from her when she actually gets in. So we have a lot to talk about today, though, and we have a lot going on in the world of news. But I first have to do my daily wish. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to, let me see here, Simone, who is a listener from New Zealand, and she posted on her Facebook page yesterday. She said, "This photo made our national newspaper. Seems normal people would be unimpressed with a hay voucher for Valentine's Day. I don't get it. I'd be quite happy as long as it was for more than one bale. It was a sign out in front of a grain store that said, new season hay, $13 to $90. Get a voucher for Valentine." Jennifer, I could have gotten you hay.
You really could have. I'd have been thrilled.
I know. With hay prices the way they are now, most horsewomen would probably be thrilled. But what is the right amount of hay? What's the right number of bales to show you actually love someone?
At least a week's worth.
So
six,
maybe
6-7 bales, yeah.
I was thinking 10, because over 10 sounds like a lot of bales of hay.
Right.
So it'd be interesting to hear what the listeners think. If you're near Facebook and get on the Horses in the Morning page, what would be for Valentine's? How many bales of hay would you consider appropriate for Valentine's Day?
You know, what I'm curious about.
Yeah,
I would love to get a voucher for hay for Valentine's. But if you got me a voucher for a bunch of bags of horse feed, I wouldn't be impressed. Why is that?
Well, that's true, and horse feed's expensive too. The bags are expensive, but you don't know. There's something.
There's
you know
something
what I think
hay.
It is? Well, I can tell you what it is. There's also something romantic about hay. Remember the whole roll
in the
hay
in
thing?
Yeah.
So I think psychologically and subconsciously, we all have this. Horse people have this thing about hay. It smells good. You have to work hard to bring it in. And remember when we used to bring in whole truckloads of hay and wagon after wagon after wagon into the hay loft of the barn? We used to sit down there after everybody left at the end of the day. You'd sit on the hay and you'd drink your final glass of iced tea and you'd just hang out with the hay. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when it's brand new off the field and you bring it in, you stack it up. It was kind of cool because we had the what's called a bank barn up in Pennsylvania, and it's a very Pennsylvania and German kind of a thing, so you see it in parts of the country that were settled by early German immigrants where the barn is built into the side of a hill, kind of like a house can be, so that the back door of the barn, you just drive up the hill through these giant doors and into the loft. And it was common to make the lofts enormous because when those barns were built, they didn't bale hay. Hay was brought in loose in sheaves. So you needed a lot of space to store your hay because it was loose and fluffy. I think we figured out that if we ever tried to, we could fit approximately 120 tons of hay in the loft of our barn. And it was kind
That's
of
a lot of bales, people.
It was a lot of bales.
That's a lot
but
of
yeah,
bales.
When you first bring it in from the fields and it's stacked up there fresh, nothing better than that smell. Yeah.
Now, the fact that you itched for 3 days after was a different story altogether. That's a different story altogether. Well, if you'd like to call in and chat, we're going to have our first guest coming up here in a moment, but if you'd like to call in and save Jennifer and I from talking to ourselves, which we do all day, every day, you can give us a call at 347-637-3238. I would love to chat with you this morning. Otherwise, I do have some news I could go over here. One of the things is Jennifer and I are big fans of Top Gear. It's a show on what station is that on now, Jennifer?
It is
do you remember?
On History.
On History Channel, Top Gear. It was taken off a British show called by the same name, Top Gear, and it's about these three gearhead guys who challenge each other to various things involving cars and high speeds. Sunday night show, they were using tractor-trailer trucks, so it was a little different.
It
was
fun
to watch.
They do wild, crazy, and weird and stupid stuff with cars. It's fun, yeah.
Well, next week, if you want to DVR it, just search for Top Gear, and it's the United States version. It's one on History Channel, because you'll come up with the BBC version as well. They actually are racing they're putting a Mustang car against a Mustang racehorse, and they're racing through the desert.
That's
so. Should be fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, in the first season, they did a race against, and they always choose an appropriate car to make it a really fun little play on words. The first season, they raced against a helicopter. And
that's right.
I'm thinking the helicopter won. And then the second season, they raced a motorcycle through an abandoned military base, if I remember right. And that was really hilarious because, of course, the motorcycle was jumping over the abandoned buildings and doing all kinds of cool stuff. So I can't wait to see what they do with the Mustang. So if you thought Hidalgo was cool, this is going to be a lot of fun.
So DVR that. That's called Top Gear. It'll be on Sunday night, I believe, is when Top Gear is on. But it's a fun show. Fun show. If you're not into cars, you're into horses. You might want to tune in to that particular episode coming up with the Mustang. That'll be fun. A couple of big shows coming up in the world, horse shows. That is the one we talked about. And I think we actually had somebody on last year from here, and that's the Scottsdale Arabian Show. It's one of the biggest Arabian shows in the country and the world. It begins today and goes through the 26th of February, and that's in Scottsdale, Arizona, at Westworld in Scottsdale. Westworld is a very big complex that they also hold the Barrett Jackson car auction there.
Now, I got a question.
Yeah.
and this is maybe something we'll ask Wendy when she comes in. The Barrett Jackson automobile auction is at Westworld, as well as the Arabian show. I want to see Westworld sometime. I don't care what's going on there. I just want to see the facility. I wonder if they have any carriage auctions at Westworld. That would kind of combine the whole horse thing and the whole car thing into one.
I don't think they do. I think that, you know, still the biggest carriage auction and one of the only ones in the country is the Martin's auction that we went to last
time. Regularly held. Yeah, usually there's special...
Yeah.
Estate sales and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of them.
And
but
I don't think carriage driving is really hot in the Arabian world.
No. Well, they do drive Arabians, though. But it has grown from 50 horses to 2,400 Arabs will be there.
Wow.
In Arizona.
That's
yeah,
a lot of
2,400 horses. And they're from around the world. And, you know, if you win at Scottsdale, basically what it comes down to, you know, in the breeding world, is if you have a champion stallion, you have a champion mare at Scottsdale, you can ask more money. It's a big deal to
yeah.
win in Scottsdale. Kind of
like Westminster for dog shows.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. Because all of those dogs, their breeding rates go up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens here in Arizona. That's not too far
to mention bragging rights. Bragging rights are huge.
Right. Not too far from Jamie. I think it's about an hour and a half. But for some reason, if Jamie has to drive out of the neighborhood, it's too far. So we can pick on her. She's not here.
Her GPS only works if the address that she types into it is something that comes out of the USEA omnibus.
Right. I saw you posted also the question of the day about the hay on our Horses in the Morning page, so you can find it there. You can let us know how many bales are the right amount. If you get hay for Valentine's Day. Now, a couple other things. The largest Shire horse show is set to begin in England. They have a 200 Shire. Shires are still a big deal in England. Of course, Shires, if you're not familiar, are very large draft horses, and we had the opportunity to see a really cool one when we were down in Ocala. We were driving through my brother's neighborhood, down in the equestrian neighborhood he lives in Ocala over the weekend, and we came across a couple of trail riders. One of them, this lovely lady who was riding a Shire, 18-hand Shire, very large Shire, and that Shire was actually, she had two of her kids with her who I think were new to riding. They were riding little ponies, so the Shire looked extra huge. And they were just riding down the street, and she was instructing the kids what to do next, and it was so cute just seeing this huge Shire with mom and the two little kids on ponies riding down the middle of the street there in the equestrian development. And I stopped to chat with her a little bit, and she loves her Shire. That particular one had to weigh in at 1 ton. We had Percherons that were 18 hands that weighed over a ton. So this one looked to be about that size. I do miss the big guys. I got to tell you, it's been a while since I've owned a Percheron, and one of these days soon I will be buying another draft horse. That's a promise. Now, I can say that because Jennifer's now getting the next guest set up, and she's not listening. I would probably not say that out loud if she was listening, because she didn't like necessarily feeding the draft horse, because we fed him about a bale of hay a day, and he also ate grass, and he also ate grain, and getting his shoes done was very expensive. So having draft horses is not the cheapest option for owning a horse. Probably my next horse will be a driving horse, a little driving horse. Well, I wanted to reiterate what we have coming up on today's show and remind you that Jamie is not here. She is sick today. Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show will be joining me shortly once she gets into the office. I had to give her a last-minute call. We have Tiffany Catledge, trainer of Solidify in the Retired Racehorse Challenge, will be coming up here shortly. Also, we have a little bit later, there's something really neat happening in Ocala over the, well, next Monday night. I wish we were down there for this. It is the North Florida chapter of, it's the North Florida chapter of the Florida Reined Cow Horse Association. They're holding a Western versus English event, and I can't wait to talk more about that. It's called the Florida Equine Challenge, and that is coming up next Monday night. We're going to hear all about that. Some big names in the Western world going against some big names in the English world. We're going to find out more about that, and then Lisa Slade's going to be with us with the Chronicle of the Horse, and she's doing a segment called Trends to Remember and Some to Forget. So all of that's coming up on today's show. And our first guest is on the line here. We're going to say hi to her. You remember yesterday we had one of the trainers from the Retired Racehorse Trainer Challenge. It's a challenge sort of like the Mustang Makeover, where three trainers are getting together, and they're actually retraining OTTBs, off-the-track thoroughbreds. And we talked to Carrie yesterday, and she was actually heading out to ride with Tiffany. They were in cahoots there, and the two competitors getting together with their thoroughbreds. And I wanted to hear how that went. But good morning, Tiffany.
Hi.
I'm supposed to ask you what you're doing right now. Is that to embarrass you?
No, I'm on a hack actually right now, and it's supposed to rain here today all day, and I was trying to get a couple horses out before it got too bad.
Well, you are certainly not the first person we've ever talked to on the Horse Radio Network while they've been riding their horse. That happens quite often. So are you riding Solidify right now, your training project?
I actually am not. I am riding a Cutman Fires off-the-track thoroughbred, though, right now, that belongs to a student, Katie Saunders, ponying another homebred thoroughbred off of him. But I actually already took Solidify out this morning at 7:30 on my first hack.
Okay. And how'd it go yesterday when you got together with Carrie and Rode?
It was fun. They were great. I rode high level with her, and Toughest was probably actually a little bit more relaxed yesterday than high level was. I think he thought it was exciting to have some new company yesterday. But they were good. We did some trot pulls, and we even jumped high level for the first time. We did a little one stride. We trotted a little cross rail a couple times, and then we turned it into a one stride, trotted a cross rail, one stride to another cross rail. And they were both really good, and that was the first time I jumped high level.
Now, who's high level?
Well, he is the horse I actually chose for the...
Why do we have Solidify down here?
Well, because high level was lame. He ended up with a bruise at the expo, so I chose him on Friday, and Solidify was the alternate horse, and... Friday or Saturday morning, high level was lame when I walked him out of the stall, so I ended up riding Solidify, the alternate horse, and then I brought both of them home, and I worked Solidify while we were working on getting high level sound, and high level actually ended up abscessing, and I just started riding him last week. The abscess came out in three places in his foot. It was crazy. So, but he's all recovered now, and he's back in work. So I have both of them. So I'll take both of them to the expo next weekend, and then we're just trying to figure out which horse I will ride in the challenge.
So you ended up having to train two. You're doing double duty.
I did. I'm having so much fun. I bet Carrie and Eric are probably jealous. But it's been fun working with them both, and they're both best friends now. They go out together. They're very different, but they're both very athletic and very talented, and I'm lucky to get to work with both of them.
Now, Carrie said yesterday she's going to be sorry to see hers go back. Are either of these guys, you're going, wow, I wish this was a keeper?
I would love to keep both of them. I talked to Jim Falk, High Level's owner, the day before yesterday, and I told him that maybe I could keep him a month longer because I think his goal will be probably to sell High Level. And depending on, we talked about depending on how he was going since he missed a couple weeks, I could keep him a month longer and put a little more training into him and make him a little more valuable.
That's cool. That's neat. I hope you do end up with them. Now, you have a few of your own, too, don't you?
I do.
Where do you train out of? Tell us that. Give a little plug.
I work out of Fox Chase Farm in Middleburg, Virginia. My business is called All For It Farm, and I actually just started my own business in September. I had worked for Dina Vaughn at Tailwind Farm for the last 16 years, and when she retired, I eventually just ended up starting my own business.
Well, that's really cool. I know that you were working with West Wind Farm, right?
West Wind, Tailwind Farm, yeah, sort of the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and you, are you an eventer, or what do you do? Do you just train babies? Do you compete, too?
I do compete. I primarily event, but I probably train. We break and train in a lot of young horses. I have evented through intermediate. I like showing when I have a horse that I can show. Take to, like, the A shows. Peter Foley helps me do the hunter thing. And then I also really like to do the dressage shows. I actually showed my 5-year-old last year in the 5-year-old FEI dressage, and that was quite fun to do. It was, like, basically second level for the 5-year-old.
How do OTTBs do? Obviously, in dressage now, you see a lot of warm bloods. Are OTTBs still prevalent at the lower levels in dressage?
Yeah, you know, and Silva Martin has that Grand Prix horse right now. I forget his name. That's doing great. I think that it just depends on the horse. Like, I think Solidify would make a great dressage horse. The movements are all very easy for him, and he's nice and light on his feet. The stronger he gets, the better he moves, and I think he could actually be very competitive in the dressage with more training.
So you know what you're going to do? Do you know what you're going to? It's sort of a freestyle event that you're going to be doing next weekend in Pennsylvania. By the way, it's at the Pennsylvania Horse World Expo. It's February 24th through the 26th at the Harrisburg Farm Show Arena. Anybody who's been in Pennsylvania knows where that is. Do you have an idea of what you're going to do with the horse you end up, whichever one?
Well, I really, honestly, Glenn, I'm not exactly sure right now. I think that if everything stays good with high level, Stuart and I talked about, I probably will end up riding him in the challenge. And then I guess it will be what I do with him depends on how much he progresses in the next, you know, week and couple days. I would hope I could, you know, show him doing basically a training level dressage test, maybe with a little leg yielding, and jump a couple fences if he feels confident. In that, you know, yesterday was the first time I had jumped him over anything, and he really seemed to enjoy it. I just want to make sure I do everything that's best for him and not push him too fast. And then with Solidify, Stuart talked about I could just briefly ride him, and I think I'll put my dressage saddle on him and just show off what he's learned on the flat.
Well, I think that, okay, all right. Because I know you want to take them. I know one of the goals of this whole thing was not to rush the horses and not to make them do things that they weren't ready to do in a short period of time. So I will give you 2 years to get to Rolex on one of them, okay?
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Now we need to just convince Jim to let me keep him.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I think this whole thing was a terrific idea. I hope that Stuart's able to, you know, raise the funds and get the sponsorship to do it again next year, even on a larger scale, because, you know, we need everything we can do to bring the OTTBs into a good light, and we've owned many of them over the years, and, you know, some people are frightened away by them. They hear stories, and they're not sure that they're good horses for everyday things, even like trail riding, but they actually end up making terrific horses for almost anything you want to do with them.
I completely agree with you. It's so great that Stuart has this program going, and I think it's going to open a lot of people's eyes to what these horses can really do.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have a website that people could find, or do you want to mention?
I do. It's allforitfarm.com. It's all one word, the word all, and then for, F-O-R, it. farm.com.
I love that name, by the way, allforitfarm.com. I love it.
Well,
thank you, Tiffany.
So
good luck next weekend. I don't know who to root for now.
Oh, you should root for a high level and Solidify. Just make it easy on you.
Okay. Thanks for making my decisions for me. I appreciate that. I wish my wife would do that.
Hey. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Tiffany. Well, she was delightful, and you could hear the clippity-clop as she was riding the horse there in the back. Well, Dr. Wendy Ying has made it to the office, and she's joining us to help co-host this fiasco this morning. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, we're I'm just glad you could make it on such short notice. I really appreciate it. Jamie sounded terrible this morning. So
I think I appreciate it more. Thanks, Wendy.
Hey, anytime. Anytime.
Well, Wendy, we have a guest coming up that's going to be in a couple minutes here. That it's the Florida Equine Challenge happening in Ocala. And I wish that we were actually in Ocala next week to see that. But we're going to be talking about that in a minute. But first, you have moved to Sarasota, Florida. How are things down there? Are you enjoying the warm weather?
Oh, yes. It was 8 degrees yesterday, and it's a beautiful morning this morning. It's about 70 this morning, and one of the reasons I was late is we're out driving this morning. So I jumped off the carriage and, like, ran into the office just to see you and Jennifer.
Oh, you didn't have to do that. I didn't know you were out driving this morning.
No, it was no problem because I was just sitting on the carriage. I wasn't doing the driving. I was drinking.
So you were
actually
weren't doing anything but
going for a ride.
How many carriage drivers are there in this? Now, first of all, we should say, for those that don't know, Sarasota is what, about an hour and a half south of Tampa on the Gulf Coast?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And
is it a big horsey area?
You know, it's not a huge horsey area, but it's a big. It's a big area for outdoor recreation, and it's a city, but there's a lot of country area. There's still a lot of places that you'll see with cows, with cattle, and there's a lot of horse show people in this area, and many of the people are full-time Florida residents. It's not as seasonal as the rest of the, like Ocala or Wellington. So, it's a great horse community. A lot of people live here, most of the time, and then go away July and August. Sorry.
Right.
And then go away July and August.
So you do have your share of snowbirds down there.
Yeah. I mean, we do have snowbirds, but most of the horse people are not snowbirds. They're full-time residents.
Mm-hmm. And you posted a picture a little while back from your bedroom window. Where you're staying now, you can actually overlook the horses in the barn right from your bedroom window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm renting this little cottage on a farm, and from my bedroom window, I can see my horse stalls, and he loves to hang his little head out and look at me.
That's a good way to wake up in the morning.
I know. It's great. It's really great.
Especially when the temperature's 65 or 70 degrees.
Yeah, but you were mad about that because I had my window open, and
yes.
I think it was very cold where you were.
Yes, that is true. That is true. I was kind of mad about that. Well, we had an interesting interview. The show is going to go up later today on the driving radio show this week. We actually interviewed a guy who's a friend of yours from Florida who was involved with Civil War reenactment. And we've done segments on Civil War reenactment before, but never with this spin. In that he was the one that actually drove the cannon. So
right. And
we got to hear all about that, and I found that absolutely fascinating, and it made me want to go be involved in one of the reenactments and have cannons firing and guns shooting. And
well, you know, John Porter is a very interesting guy, and like I said in the interview, I knew nothing about reenactments, but it was really interesting to hear all the work that goes into it, all the detail of their outfits, they follow all the history of the harness and putting to. So I thought that was really interesting. I've seen pictures of that, but I've never seen how that all goes together. So
he talked a lot about, we don't think about this today, but he talked about a lot about the logistics of just what it took and how many horses it took to move an entire army. They had to move all the supplies, all the food, all the shot, all the black powder, all the everything. We didn't even think about farriers, and he talked about what farriers were like back then and all the things they had to move. Everything had to be moved in these huge wagon trains that were pulled by horses. So,
I know. I think I never even considered that, but just getting around. I mean, you have to think how slowly the armies must have moved back then.
That's right. That's right. Well, I have one other story here I wanted to mention to everybody, and that is Animal Kingdom. Of course, everybody remembers Animal Kingdom, the racehorse from last year. and we've covered him quite a bit on the show here. He will make his debut in an 11 and 16th mile allowance race at Gulfstream Park this Saturday. He was originally scheduled to head to Tampa Bay Stakes on February 25th, but they basically designed this race for him, and so they decided to take him to this race instead. It's a $60,000 turf allowance. So he will be making his debut this year. He hasn't raced since his sixth place finish at Belmont Stakes last June. And if you remember right, he had a fracture in his left hock then. So they think that is pretty well repaired, and he is ready to go again. So you'll be seeing Animal Kingdom. And, of course, we'll have the race for you on Monday for you. We'll have the sound from that race. Then also, what did I want to mention here? There was one other story I wanted to bring up. I think I've actually covered all of those. So let's just talk about our sponsor this half hour, which is Equestrian Collections. And let's get to our next guest to hear about a really cool thing happening in Ocala on Monday night. Our sponsor is actually out of Ocala, and that's EasySignsOnline.com. Everywhere you go, it seems that a vehicle window decals are the current rage. Add a splash of color to your car, truck, and trailer with a colorful, unique, pre-printed vinyl window sunset decal. Available in dozens of equine and canine subjects, they are sure to have one that suits your needs. These long-lasting, colorful, computer-printed vinyl window decals are 4x6 inches and will adhere to any smooth, clean surface, indoor or outdoor. This week, they are only $3.95 each and ship for free, regardless of order size. You can find them at EasySignsOnline.com. They will meet all of your sign needs, from signs to banners to magnets to decals, and they have all of your sign needs covered. And again, it's EasySignsOnline.com. And Wendy, they are right down the street from where this next event we're going to talk about is happening. It was Easy Signs that let us know about this, because they're heading over there to watch this on Monday night. And I think this is the greatest idea. I love it, and they have some big names. So let's talk to Brad, who is with the Florida Equine Challenge, and learn more about that.
Hey, good morning,
Brad.
How are you? I'm doing great. Really looking forward to our event Monday night.
We are so excited about this. This is so cool. Tell everybody what it is, and then I want to talk about some of the big names you have coming to this thing.
Absolutely. What this is the Florida Rain Cowhorse Association has been raising money to put on horse shows for years and years. And about 3 years ago, one of our club members came up with an idea that we could raise money for a charity as well as for ourselves in the process. So we put together this plan for Make-A-Wish, and Make-A-Wish is a foundation that grants wishes to kids that have potentially life-threatening diseases. Okay, so kids are in a bad way, their family's going through a lot of hospital time usually and that kind of thing, and Make-A-Wish gives them wishes, and the kids come up with their ideas of what they want, and Make-A-Wish makes that come true to give them a little spark in their life, a little encouragement. And so what we've done is we invited 10 jumping trainers, and we've got world-class people. I'll run down the list in a minute, and combine them with 10 world-class cow horse riders, professionals. And what they do is on the night of the event, they get together and team up in pairs of two, and we trade horses. So the cowboys have to jump a course on the big English horses, and the English riders in their jodhpurs and hats and all have to get on a cow horse and run a reining pattern and work a cow, and it is hilarious and a lot of fun, and we've really been excited. In two events that we've had the previous 2 years, we've given Make-A-Wish close to $27,000. So it's been really exciting for us.
Now, Wendy, you said you go to Ocala on Mondays. Are you going to be there next Monday to go watch this thing?
Oh, no, this Monday I'm not going to be there, but now I feel like I want to go up. I want to know how many people fall off when they're switching to their other discipline.
You know, it's come close. We have not had anybody hit the dirt yet, but it's been close. And the funniest thing, you know, the Western guys, it's kind of comical to watch them out there in their cowboy hats and chaps on these giant horses jumping these things. And it's a timed event, that part of it. They rip through this course. And I'm telling you, they're serious about winning this thing. We give out a beautiful trophy buckle and a bit to the two champions. And but when these English folks, you know, world-class athletes that are riding these cow horses now, they get on there, it's a whole different world. It's most of them, and they are fighting for position. We've got 10 people, these trainers, they are calling us early in the year, can I get on that list? Can I come do that thing? And, you know, everybody wants to be part of it, so it's exciting.
Well, let me go through some of the names here for you. On the English side, and these people, a lot, most of these have been on the Horse Radio Network at one point or another. Of course, we have Bruce Davison, who's like the godfather of eventing now.
Yeah, and multiple Olympics.
I can't believe you have
medalists.
Him riding cows.
Isn't that something? Yep.
We have Tracy Magnus, Aaron Vale, of course, Lainey Ashker, who's been on the shows. Peter Atkins, Run Henny Run, fame.
Yep.
You have Denise Wilson, Daniel Damon, Patty Stovall, Karen O'Connor is riding
in. Yeah, Karen did it last year for the first time, and she had a blast and was happy to come back. Aaron's done it 3 years. This will be his third year now. He's due, I'm telling you. He's due, and he wants it bad. Last year, Lainey Ashker and a guy named Joel Harper from Kentucky was the cowhorse rider. They won the event. And I'm telling you, Lainey came in here. She flew in from out of state just for the event on Monday so she could ride with Joel. And she had her game on. She came to win that thing, and she did.
Do you think they're practicing, like, during the rest
you know,
of the year and not letting their friends know?
No, a couple of them have actually gotten together. And, you know, I mean, no holds barred if you want to bone up on a little bit. And it probably helped her because she had ridden with Joel the year before. And I don't know if it was the same horse or not, but there is a little technique to it. And if these, you know, it's a lot easier to take a hold of a horse. For the cowboys, you know, it's easier to, for us to probably get a hold of a horse and just take them. But for these guys to drop their hand, for the English guys to drop their hand and let that horse work the cow, that's a weird feeling for them.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So and the other thing is you can't just go out and practice unless you have cows. So it's a little harder for the English guys unless they, you know, buy some cows to go out there and
practice. These guys are all these world-class athletes. They're busy. They're training all the time, showing all the time, so they don't have a lot of time to practice. We're having our practice for them at noon on Monday, and they all get to take one whack at it. You know, they probably practice for 45, 50 minutes on Monday afternoon, and then Monday night they go at it. And, so they don't get much time to practice. It's a lot of fun.
Why don't you go through some of the Western riders? There's a few names here that we'll probably recognize.
Sure. Robert Smith is a multi-world champion. Martin and Jennifer Black are here from Utah. Idaho, Utah, I can't remember where they live, but they are clinicians that are world-renowned. Rick Steves, five-time cowhorse champion. Terry Clancy is here from California. Pat Pirelli is a big name, of course. You know Pat, he's here. He lives in Ocala in the wintertime, and he's been a big part of our cowhorse association, been so gracious with his time and his money and, you know, really supported our club and supports this Make-A-Wish thing in a huge way. He's going to be having some of his folks do a demonstration prior to the start of the actual event at 6. They'll start in about 4:30 with some of his folks demonstrating what they do in the arena. And then Pat's teamed up with Karen O'Connor this year. So it'll be fun. We also have a great halftime show. We've got a guy named Denny Chapman that is a world-renowned trick shooter. And
yes,
he's going to come
Denny's
and put
been
on
our
a,
show many times. I love Denny. He's
Denny
so much fun. And he's a showman.
Show. He is. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So there's going to be food to be had, and people can buy food at the event. And we've sold about 30 sponsor tables, which are all catered tables along the side of the arena, tablecloth and baskets and everything that goes with it, a beautiful thing. And it's only $10 at the door, Monday night, 6 o'clock at Ocala Equestrian Complex, right on 60th Street across from the airport.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you where that was. How many people do you usually get every year? Was last year the first year?
We've had two events so far, previous 2 years, and we've had anywhere from 1,700 up to about 2,200, and we expect to have that much bigger this year. We've got a whole new parking system. We're going to use the parking at OBS. If you're in Ocala, you'll be familiar with that. And so we've doubled our parking size so that we can accommodate more cars, and we've got the Sheriff's Mounted Posse is going to be parking people. It's going to be easy in, easy out. VIP parking for all the vendors and sponsors, rather, and should flow in and out really smooth, and you can get, you know, food there at the event, drinks, and there's a silent auction and all kinds of ways to donate to Make-A-Wish.
I think this is terrific. Make-A-Wish is one of our favorite charities here at the Horse Radio Network. Also, will any of the Make-A-Wish kids be there that night?
We have a guest that's coming to tell her story, yes. So we've done that each year. Last year we had a boy come, and we had helped him actually get a horse. That was his dream and his wish. He got a horse, and he came in and helped us push cattle out on his horse that was his Make-A-Wish horse. So that was exciting.
Oh.
This year we have a lady coming to tell her story about what Make-A-Wish has done for her, and a representative from Make-A-Wish is there. But Make-A-Wish doesn't really do much for this. They just sit back and get a nice big check at the end of it and are happy to get it. So anybody interested in working with Make-A-Wish as well, just, you know, you can always go on their website, and they can always use help with volunteers about granting wishes and putting wishes together for kids. So the money that we make here tonight, Monday night, is going to be staying right here in Central and Northern Florida Make-A-Wish programs. And then if you want more information on this event, you can go to FloridaEquineChallenge.com.
Okay, so that's FloridaEquineChallenge.com. Thank you so much, Brad, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good luck with this event. I'm so excited for you. I think this is going to be so much fun, and hopefully next year we can get down and actually be there.
Yep, thank you so much for having me. Thanks to all our riders that give their time for free and all the folks that come out and support it. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, don't you wish Monday was one of those days you were going up there?
I do. And you know what? I think it's really smart that I put it on a Monday, because really from January to March, you can't do anything. There are no more dates left in the Florida calendar because it's craziness down here.
Yeah, all the shows and everything that are going on in Florida. You're right. Every weekend there's a show.
Every weekend there's a show. And the shows run for a long time, and then you're like, playing catch up. So Monday night is like the perfect night to have it, and you'll get he'll get a lot of horse people, and I think it's a great idea. I think they should add driving next year, actually, but
so I want to ask,
crashing into each other. Oh god.
Yeah, exactly. I'll bring knockdown hazards. They won't be solid.
It's demolition derby.
That's right.
So what have you seen interesting? You've been working with a lot of new clients and a lot of things. Are there any cases that have come up? Of course, Wendy, for those that don't know, she is a veterinarian, also practiced traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and chiropractic. So have you had anything interesting come up in your travels here in the last couple of weeks?
Well, the majority of my Sarasota clients, like I said, are full-timers, but I talked about this once on the driving radio show. You have a lot of horses that swell up in their legs when they come down here. They get really bad scratches or dew poisoning. So I see a lot of that. And, one of the things, too, about Florida is if you come from someplace with hard ground and then you come down to Florida, sometimes they get a little sore in the soles of their feet because they sink into the sand. So their soles are carrying a little bit more weight than they're used to. So those are two things that I see when people first come down here. But this is just like that. In my practice, it's Chinese veterinary medicine and sport horses. So it's a lot of back injuries and exertion injuries because it's the beginning of the season. And especially people from up north, when you come down here, you try to condition as much as possible, but, with the weather in Kentucky, it's very difficult to get outside and really condition the way you want. So a lot of weekend warrior syndrome, but they get over it by the, first couple of weeks.
Okay, yeah. Well, and we have to actually play a little commercial here for, I think, a sponsor that you're probably sitting in their office right now, and that's NupaFeed.
I am, yes. I'm sitting in the NupaFeed office. NupaFeed and I share an office down here, so I have my vet equipment here because I am a mobile practice. But it's good to have a little stationary place. And NupaFeed is actually one of the products I use a lot down here because, the horses are traveling, they're stressed out, whatever. They have a very difficult show schedule. Like we talked about, Monday night is a good night because the people are running crazy. That means the horses are also running crazy. This is a very difficult schedule for a lot of horses. So NupaFeed can help with them getting over the stress of competition and there's a NupaFeed magnesium supplement that can help with muscle pain and stress, and there's also one that's L-carnitine that helps with energy. So just like me getting going in the morning, I definitely need coffee. The NupaFeed L-carnitine helps with energy throughout the day for the horses.
Well, I know that one of the things that we talked about last week, every week on the Driving Radio Show, Dr. Ying does a Chinese medicine update, a segment on Chinese medicine. We cover different topics. And last week we covered bitchy mare syndrome. And it was a very interesting conversation. And then we go down to my brother's down in Ocala, and her horse probably has the worst case of it I've ever seen.
And oh, really?
I said to her to go listen, go listen back to that. But I thought it would also be interesting. Jennifer, I'm just thinking, I'm doing this on the fly because we didn't know Dr. Ying was going to be here. Jennifer, give a call down to Wayne and find out if Pam would like to come on maybe about 10:15 after the Chronicle. And we can do an on the show consultation about it. What do you think, Wendy? Are you up for that?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. I'm up for that.
All
right. Of course, that'd be fun.
So, Jennifer, see if you can give them a call on your cell and see if she's available and up for doing this at about 10:15, and she can get some free advice. But we haven't done that before on the show, so that might be kind of fun.
I'm glad, you know what?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I just wanted to mention it's NupaFeedUSA.com. Their website is NupaFeedUSA.com. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that what grew out of the bitchy mare syndrome show was that a lot of people said, well, what about the mares that aren't bitchy? They just want to have sex all the time. So that's what's going to be next on the Driving Radio Show.
Oh, yeah, we did have it. We actually had somebody that posted that about, and, oh, this is great for breakfast talk, by the way. They posted about the whole mare squirting issue. They're not necessarily bitchy, but, they're doing that all the time. And we have had those that have done that, and they were asking what you could do about that. So are we going to talk about that also on the Driving Radio Show?
Yep.
Okay, good, because that is a concern that we didn't get to. And, boy, I've had mares that have done that, and it's embarrassing.
It's completely embarrassing.
Especially if you're in a carriage and somebody's in there with you. It's really embarrassing then.
Oh, yuck.
Well, from that, now that we've ruined everybody's breakfast this morning, let's do our song of the day. We have Marianne Kennedy and The Language of Love. And then we're going to be back with more guests and more fun talk here on Horses in the Morning.
The language of love is what I a gentle hand. Actions speak louder, words aren't enough. In the language of love, the language of love, not spoken with every creed.
wonderful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Well, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Dr. Wendy Ying, filling in for Jamie today, who is off sick. She's hoping to get to the doctor today. Providing she is back tomorrow, we'll be doing really bad ads. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We have a surprise prize for you, so be sure to get your ads in. I know some of you have already sent ads in this week. But
Back for really bad ads?
Oh yeah, you know, you might be back for really bad ads if Jamie's not here, but then you're gonna have to do as good as Jamie, you know.
I will practice because I love really bad ads. And Jamie, I love when Jamie does that voice and she does really bad ads, so I'll have to practice.
Well, I know there was, you know how Jamie always gets the ones that have no punctuation that are about two paragraphs long?
Yes.
I know that we had one of those come in yesterday. Jennifer, I forwarded that over to you. I don't know if you looked at it, but there is one that's I'm telling you, there has to be 200 words, and there's not a punctuation in the whole thing. So,
punctuation plus money, Glenn.
That's right. Time. But, no, that would be fun. So get your really bad ads in. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line. Just go to Craigslist and look at the farm and ranch. Farm and ranch, I think. Let me tell you, in 2 minutes, you're going to find really bad ads. You're going to find them. There's no problem with that. I sent one over to Jennifer about a horse trailer that you're going to get a kick out of. So we need some more. Get them in, and there will be a prize. It's a surprise prize, which anybody that knows the show well enough knows that we have no idea what it's going to be, but we'll figure it out by tomorrow. That's pretty much what that
sounds
means.
Great. It's a surprise for everyone.
That's right, including us. So now tell us a little bit about your horses, Wendy. What do you have right now?
Oh, the horse that I was out on the carriage with this morning is my brand new horse who's totally adorable. His name's Hugo Boss, and he's this cute little Dutch harness horse. And I bought him from Ron and Debbie Egan in Sullivan, Ohio. And they started that American Dutch Harness Horse Registry. So they were pretty involved in bringing the Dutch Harness Horse to the forefront of American sport. And he went into training with my trainers, Randy and Katie Cadwell, in Southern Pines, North Carolina. And I had to go check him out. I check out all the new ones. I do their teeth and, you know, get them all ready for their new life in a combined training barn. And I totally fell in love with him, and it took me 3 months to finally, like, wrestle him away from them, but I got him. He's totally cute. I wore them down.
Which means you wrote a big enough check? Is that what that means?
Oh, well, and also I convinced them that he's little, and, you know, my horses are little. My horses are just about 15-1. And, you know, Katie's horses are about 16-1, and there's one that's getting a little bit bigger. So I was like, he doesn't go in there. But with driving, they don't have to be exactly the same size, especially with combined driving. So I wrestled him away, and I got him.
Your horses are actually the perfect size for you, because if you had anything in at 16 and a half, 17 hands, you'd be on a stool all the time trying to get the harness on.
Yeah, and also I used to breed Irish drafts and sport horses, and so they're pretty big. So my first real driving horse was a 17-hand purebred Irish draft, and I was kind of interested in doing pairs and multiples, but I thought there's no way I'm doing that with, you know, 17-hand horses, because the harness alone is, I mean, I'm 5'2". And the harness, to get all that harness on, is heavy. I can't do big horses. So my two favorite horses, Duke and Dante, who are they're 15 one-hand Welsh Cob Arab crosses, they kind of just fell into my life. And when I got those two, they already drove pair, and they were a good size. And I thought, well, I can do this. I can do this at this size, you know. And that's how I got started doing pairs and multiples. And now I don't ever want to drive single anymore.
Now they're kind of almost the same size as Morgan would be, right?
Right, or like your horse Beaker.
Yeah, sort of that same size of the 15-1, 15-2 hand. size, which is a great size for driving, because you're right. I love draft horses, but when you get into the draft, harness is heavy for a regular size horse. It's really heavy for a draft horse.
I know.
Just putting the collar on and getting the collar up over their heads, if they decide to put their head up on an 18-hand draft horse, I need a step ladder, and I'm 6'1".
I know.
It's a whole different ball game. Everything's more complicated.
All horses in my barn learn something when they first come. They learn heady down, because I am really short, and I cannot be, like, wrestling them to put their bridle on. So everybody learns heady down when they first come in to the barn. And that means put your head down.
Do you teach them that with rewards, with treats?
Yeah, with treats. Just like you teach your dog to sit.
Okay, so that's how you're doing it. You're reinforcing.
Some cakes are better than others. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have you had horses that you've driven over the years that you've gone, I just can't do this anymore? They just drive you nuts.
Well, some like driving better than others. Some are not going to drive. So you have to realize that. Sometimes it's just too, there's too much going on. Some don't like the carriage behind them. Some have been abused because, I'm a sucker. So I love the needy ones. But sometimes those aren't going to drive because they just had too much emotional baggage. So that's the time when you move them on. And also when I do multiples, if I have one that's really needy and needs special attention, they can't be in the team because I have hard enough time driving the four together. Like, I don't have time to worry about one that needs extra special attention. So they all have to be pretty easygoing and willing to work together in the team. For me, if you're driving a single, then you have a little bit more time to spend. Just like with your riding horse, you have to decide how much you're willing to work at it to get where you want to go.
Right, right. That is true. Well, let's do this. Let's head off to our – and wait, Jennifer, by the way, has a call in to Wayne's wife, and she apparently is at exercise class right now, so she gets back in time. We might be able to do this live consultation, which we haven't done before on the show. So hopefully she'll get back in time for that. If not, maybe we'll just ask for callers and we'll see who calls in today. But let's get to our next guest. It's Thursday. I can't believe that. It's hard to believe it's Thursday already.
I know.
But I know every Thursday comes around and I look and it's the Chronicle of the Horse. And Lisa Slade is here again from the Chronicle of the Horse. And then Lisa, I look at it and I go, oh my God, it's Thursday again.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Sorry,
I don't know about
you.
I don't know about you guys.
I'm just kidding. It's early.
I know. And it's Thursday. It's like the day before Friday. It's kind of one of those days,
Yep, it is one of those days. It's raining here.
When's your deadline day?
We have a couple of different deadlines. Most of our stories are due Wednesday at noon, so that would be yesterday.
So Thursday's kind of a breather day for you guys.
It is for some of us. It's not for the people laying out the magazine. And then we also have to do most of the proofreading on Thursdays.
Okay.
So I'd say Friday is probably our lightest day. And then we have new deadlines on Monday and Tuesday for things like breaking news. That's when we do our In the Country section or obituaries and a couple other parts of the magazine. So it kind of stretches out all week, but I would say for me, Wednesday morning is usually when I'm, panicking.
Totally stressed out. And then you have to be on with us on Thursday morning, and that's stressful.
Oh, it's so stressful. I should stay awake at night and think about it.
Tell us what we're talking about today. I'm looking forward to this. Something you had in your digital magazine.
Yes. Our digital product, the Chronicle Connection, which you can access on our website at www.cronofhorse.com/chronconnection, CHRONCONNECTION. We'll have the latest edition up there. Right now we have February's, which is really good. The cover story is about balancing relationships with significant others who may or may not ride themselves, so that's a really good read. But today what I wanted to talk about was we all sort of thought about it, and we came up with some trends, and there are trends that we miss, trends that we're glad aren't around anymore, and then we also have things that, like, new things that we really like, and trends that we're glad are coming back. So,
all right, so I'm on the page here, and it's page 10 on the digital magazine. And I love this, the good, the bad, and the ugly, trends to remember and some to forget.
Yep.
So let's start with trends we miss.
Yeah, these are, you know, some of them aren't totally gone. Like quarter marks are on here, and we were sort of saying, you know, people still do quarter marks sometimes, but I think with a lot less frequency than they used to. So we'd like to see more more quarter marks. That was one that we missed.
Some people that probably don't even know what they are. Tell people what they are.
It's a lot of people at three-day events still do them. It's sort of different patterns people make on their horse's hindquarters. The most common one is the checkerboard pattern. And you can buy a stencil to do them, but, I mean, I think most people would say that's sort of cheating. Like all the top grooms know how to do
it. That's totally cheating. From a quarter mark lover, that is completely cheating.
Yeah, that doesn't count. You know, pretty
I thought
much
that was the only way to do it.
No, Glenn. Oh, my
no,
God.
You gotta freehand it. That's the way.
And what exactly are you doing to make the quarter mark?
You know, I'm not super familiar. I've never
okay,
done that
Wendy,
myself.
What, okay, Wendy, what are you doing?
You, okay, this is what I do. You take a little brush, like a stiff brush, and you can spray something on. Like some people in the olden days used to use, like, sugar water, but that's a little dangerous. I think there's bees around, so I don't do that. But, you know, you can use hairspray or dippity-doo or whatever, and you just brush the hair. So the hair is brushed down. You brush against the hair, and that, like, fluffed-up hair is what makes the mark.
Yeah.
You can do like zigzag, or you know, you can do a checkerboard, and you just you know, take these little squares that you brush back. It's super cute.
It is super cute.
What are the coolest ones you've seen? I've seen some that have done flags, and different things. I saw one actually at a carriage event years ago that they actually had a carriage on the horse's butt. So
oh,
what
awesome.
Have you guys seen? Yeah.
I think the newest thing that I see right now is several of the eventers have a logo that they do. So, like, Sinead Halpin has an S that she does on her horse's hindquarters. Doug Payne has, I'm not totally sure what his logo is, but it's pretty cool looking. He does that on his horses. So that's something that I've been seeing more is people doing their own sort of thing to distinguish their horses.
Well, Wendy, you must have seen some interesting ones. You've traveled internationally a lot. Is that a thing over there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really remember seeing a lot of that internationally. But, you know, when I have gone internationally, I've only gone to the driving events.
Right.
And driving people are not real big on that because the harness gets in the way a lot of times.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure. It just mushes
sense.
It.
Yeah.
All right. So what else?
All right. So another one that we miss is those crocheted riding gloves, the ones that are the leather
yeah.
with the... You know,
I love those.
I know. I think I still have a couple pairs of those. You can
yeah,
buy
you know
them.
What? I don't miss them because I still wear them all
yeah.
I don't care if I was like totally uncool for a while, but now it's coming back in.
Yeah, that's the awesome thing about trends is if you just stick with it, it'll eventually come back.
Yeah, I was like the person that kept wearing bell bottoms from the 70s on.
Let's see, another one that we miss are those poly pads, which again, a lot of people still use, but now, you know, like technological pads are all the rage and, you know, they're modern material and we still sort of miss those old fluffy cotton pads. I definitely still have a couple of those.
Yeah, we do too. And you know who uses our poly pads?
The dogs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're perfect dog beds. You're exactly right.
So that's another good one. So now we'll jump ahead to trends that we don't miss, things that have gone away that no one misses. And I have to say that I disagree with some of these. The first one is pom-poms on helmet covers. And I happen to think that those are adorable. So I think I'm going to try to bring that back this year.
All right,
I'm
going to
give
Lisa's
those thumbs down.
And I got to say, Lisa, I think you're alone on this one. I'm voting thumbs down, too.
But you know what? I'll tell you something. In skiing, the pom-pom is coming back, too.
Really? So maybe I'll be, like, on the head of the curve for equestrian sports.
Yeah, but you know what you should have done for this picture? You should have done the big pom-pom, because the big
yeah.
pom-pom is coming back. Like, if you're going to wear a pom-pom, it has to be huge.
Go all the way with the pom-pom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, well, maybe I'll wear a pom-pom. You're like, look at my pom-pom.
You know, you can't even buy them here, which is frustrating. You can, like, special order them from England, which I might have to do, but it's kind of expensive, so I don't know. We'll see about that. Another one that staffers don't miss are the cross-country vests that came with shoulder pads. So maybe this is a little debatable. Possibly, maybe they made your vests a little bit safer. I'm not totally sure. I remember the first vest I got had them, and I took them off because
I don't know anybody that kept them on, to be honest with you, Lisa.
Yeah.
Because they would dig into you, they would cut into your neck, and they would always be in the wrong place, and it was just everybody always had problems with those.
It's hard to even know what they're protecting. Like, is it, I guess, the top of your shoulder or the top of your arm? That's not something that, you know, usually gets injured. I guess collarbones, but that seems like the regular vest has that as well protected as it could be. So I don't know. We don't miss that one.
Okay.
Because I don't understand it. Let's see. This one was mine, actually. Drop nosebands. I know they serve a purpose, but I don't like the way they look. I think they make horses' noses look sort of excessively long. I don't know. Am I alone in this? Are there drop noseband?
No, I don't ever remember them being. I mean, I always remember seeing a drop noseband and going, why? Just get a flash.
Yeah.
I mean,
Now, the cool drop noseband to have, because when I started eventing, drop nosebands were the rage, was the adjustable drop noseband with the fancy stitching on top. If you have one of those, you were cool. That was it.
That was how you knew if you were hip.
You were hip if you had the adjustable dropped noseband. How those horses managed to breathe all those years, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And I just think there's something about them that just, you know, horses' heads are so elegant and they make them look kind of dumpy or something. I don't know. I don't know.
The current trend of the super wide as a fence rail noseband.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That
is the new thing.
That also does not do it, yeah.
I'm not, you know, that's the thing, though. We were at Ada here a couple of weeks ago seeing all what's coming out new, and everybody has these inch and a half, 2-inch wide bridles, and it's like, oh, my God.
I know. You're kidding. That's what you use for your back doors when you go hunting, so they don't look so giant.
Yes,
you know?
I know.
But if you have a pretty horse, you don't want a big old fat strap bridle on it.
No, and it's even hard to find. Like when I was trying to find a dressage bridle for my horse, she's quite small and she's very dainty. And those nosebands just cover up like her whole face. And so I had to search kind of long and hard before I found one that had a little bit thinner leather.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm not a big fan of the big fat ones.
Yeah. So the next one, this is one I'm sure no one will miss, hunt caps. Pretty much.
Useless piece of equipment right there.
Yes.
Wait a second. I'm missing the hunt caps. I don't ride in them. We don't ride in them. We use them for, like, our grooms, so that we put them in riding gear. And they
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we don't worry about safety in driving.
So are you not allowed to use them anymore?
No, we can use them in driving because the driver's wearing, like, a fancy, pretty hat. We don't
have
to wear hard hats. We don't have to wear safety protection and dressage and cones.
Okay.
Right, but you do in marathon.
Yeah, in marathon you couldn't wear the hunt cap, but we use it as an item. We use it as an item of apparel only.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that seems all right.
I do have to tell you though, hunt caps are, you know, they were pretty much useless. And because they fell off before you ever hit the ground and hit your head, and we had a story last week we covered of a girl who got hurt here in the United States, and she was wearing a helmet but didn't have it strapped. People, that's the same thing as wearing a hunt cap, all right?
Yeah.
You need to have that strapped. What happened is the helmet came off, she hit her head, and she was in a coma. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so you gotta strap that helmet, or you know, it's the same thing as really not having it on at all. So get it strapped.
Yeah, and there's a great photo with this of a gentleman who's out fox hunting, and it looks like he landed from a fence, and maybe his horse stumbled a bit. He sort of bounced out of the tack, and he's looking at his hunt cap on the ground.
Yeah, and you have two things there with that picture when it involves hunting. You have drunk rider and a hunt cap, both bad.
Yes, it's a bad combination.
And now, our favorite current trends.
Things
I'm
we love.
To see what you guys did, yeah.
Zippers on tall boots. Why did
Yay!
No one think of this
We're
for so long?
Right. Can clap at that. I'm going to give you an extra two.
Awesome.
That's a horse husband thing right there. We have spent many a day trying to help get boots on and help get boots off.
Yes, they're so great. I remember, I think, actually crying once because, like, my boots were so tight. It was hot and, you know, just trying to get them off, and that was the most awful thing. So now you just zip them off and on. It's awesome.
We had a store where we had a tack shop, and my job, before this is free zipper days, I was in charge of helping the women put the boots on and take them off. Well, we had this one woman that she was convinced that this boot was going to fit her, and she really wanted a tight-fitting boot. We couldn't get it off. We had to cut it off. So I don't
That's
miss
terrible.
Zippers. Yeah, no, I don't miss boots without zippers.
That's a nightmare.
And what else?
All right, let's see. Where are we now? Trends. Yeah, things we love. Those new hunt cap or new hunt coats that are made out of like technical material instead of super heavy, sweaty, nasty, dry clean only wool. They're so beautiful. We have a pretty picture here of Caroline Rothman who has this like navy pinstripe one that's made out of this material that looks like something an athlete would wear, as opposed to something that is just completely impractical. So those are awesome. I love those new coats.
I love them, too. I have one. I got one for when I went hunting in Kentucky right before I left.
Yeah.
And I wore
great.
Hunting, and then I plan to ride. The reason I got it is I was moving to Florida, so I don't want to wear a wool hunt coat in Florida.
Oh,
no. Get real. And you can
sense.
Wash them.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Just throw it in the wash and done.
Yep.
They're great.
I agree. And they make them in, like, different colors and, you know, with pretty collars, and I think it's a great thing. Let's see. I think everyone loves these, even though, you know, it's like this says, they're completely frivolous. Those boot socks that are now in, like, the beautiful colors and the funny patterns and the, like, awesome designs. Who doesn't love those?
I got to get my wife those for Christmas every year. She
loves
her tall, fancy boot socks. She loves getting those. She has about 80 pairs now. I noticed there's some that aren't even open now. So I don't think she's going to get any this year because she hasn't used up all of them.
We've reached critical mass in the sock drawer.
I love those things, too.
But those are awesome. Another thing we really like, brown tall boots. So fetching.
Yeah.
They're really awesome.
No, I think brown tall boots to me says, you know what? I do have brown boots, but
yeah.
I do have black boots, but I wear brown boots for fashion.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
If you're interested in fashion, you are going to have a set of brown boots.
Yep.
Doesn't brown boots say sort of a little bit screw the establishment on my own person?
Yeah,
no,
I think so.
You can only wear brown boots a certain time of the
season.
You see, so it says that I care so much about fashion that I'm not going to wear my black boots when I'm out cubbing. Of course not. I have brown boots for cubbing.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, before we go on talking about fashion, I had a story. And you won't see this, Lisa, but I had a story that designers have decided that equestrian wear or their version of it is the new in thing for the runways around the world.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, I had this story. From the stables to the runway, equestrian chic with bridle-like belts and towering riding boots. And you'll see these in your show notes, Wendy. This is not anything an equestrian would wear. I'm sorry. They aren't wearing these boots that look, they're just hideous. But anyway, that could be my opinion. I don't know how you feel, Wendy. At the bottom of the show notes there, you'll see a couple of pictures. But,
Oh, it didn't come. The pictures didn't come through.
Oh, sorry about that. But they're just awful. They're really butchering equestrian wear. No equestrian's going to wear that.
Yeah, I think it's just such a blanket statement now that people use anything that looks even remotely like, you know, breeches or boots. People instantly say like, "Oh, this is so equestrian. This is such equestrian fashion." And you know, obviously, a lot of times it's not anything.
Well, now there's
like
also the current trends were already over. These are things that are out now that you guys are already over. What would that be?
Let's see. Like those patterned, some patterned riding tights that are maybe, you know, they're in sort of unattractive pattern. And they're in very thin material for riding tights. I don't know. Personally, I just find that thin material unflattering. I don't know.
Pumpy
what do you guys
tech,
think?
Though.
I know it's very cool. Yeah. I mean, cool to me.
They actually, and the problem with some of those patterns, and it depends what they are. Carrots make some nice stuff, but there's some other companies that have decided to try and copy Carrots, and then they came out with these patterns, and they only look good unless you are a skinny model.
Yeah.
You know, you better be walking the runway, or you're gonna look like you shouldn't be wearing them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's see. This was another one that was my personal thing that I dislike is those V-shaped brow bands.
I don't like those either.
I don't like those.
They don't sit right, I think.
No, it always looks like they're sort of loose. There's like some air space in there. I don't know. It reminds me of something that I'm sure this is totally wrong, but, you know, someone would wear it like medieval times or something. And
yeah,
I don't know. Not really into that.
They're the horse version of the comb over.
Yes.
Yeah, they are. It's just like I feel like somebody was making brow bands and they wanted to do something new, so they put this V in there.
Yeah, I think it's.
But it doesn't look nice. And also, you know what I hate is that then you always have this awkward, like, space between your braid and the V.
Yeah.
And it's either under or over and just looks stupid.
I know, because that's actually one of the things I like about a regular brow band is if I totally mess up the four-lock braid, you can just kind of tuck it under the brow band.
Right. And but now with the V, then what do you do with the four-lock braid? It's just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Extreme bling is another thing we're not super crazy about. I mean, I think some bling is okay. I actually really like some of the brow bands. I think they're beautiful, some of the ones that have, you know, the rhinestones and stuff. But people have just gotten crazy with it, and there's bling on stirrups and bling on spur straps and bling on everything. And I just think, like, there's some areas you don't want to draw attention to. I think your spurs is maybe one of them.
That's a crossover from the Western world, and I think we saw that about 5 to 8 years ago with the jumper riders, especially started wearing the Western belts, and they started wearing the big belt buckles, and you know, they really started crossing the line. And I think right now I don't know about you guys, but I think that there's not much of a line anymore. You'll see dressage riders with Western apparel. Pretty soon we're going to be seeing rat catchers with bling, purple studs.
Yes.
<you know? laughs>
I got to disagree with one
you have on the list. I represent horse husbands around the world.
Yes.
And there's one you have on this list of things that you're already over that us horse husbands are just starting to like.
Okay.
And I think you know what it is. It's the super low-rise breeches.
No.
We have to go to horse shows. We have to go to horse shows because we have to go to horse shows. At least with super low-rise breeches, it gives us something to admire and to look at while we're there. So
yeah,
I
guess that's true.
Yeah,
I mean,
if they're on somebody skinny and with a nice body, but what if you're on super low-rise breeches and it's not that flattering?
And I really dislike the trend that people wear super low-rise breeches with a shad belly, and there's this, like, awkward gap distance between the top of the breeches and the bottom of the shad belly where there's just, you can see shirt there, and I think that's not right. That shouldn't happen.
No.
But I agree.
You should not have summer's butt or thong showing when you're riding with your shad belly. It just should not happen.
No, it should be, you know, they should be flush with each other. But I mean, I have to say that I enjoy that my breeches now don't, you know, entirely cover my rib cage. I'm a fan of breeches that are slightly lower rise than that. Just don't take it too low, I think,
I say this was a terrific list you guys put together and a lot of fun to talk about. And I'm so glad Wendy was here to chat about it, because Wendy is never short on opinions on things.
I'm sure everyone has their own things.
Well, thank you, Lisa. One of the other things I noticed on the next page is you guys are getting into cooking, and you're doing competition with the Food Channel now.
Yeah, totally. We're gonna rival them, I think.
That's great. I think you guys are stepping out a little bit. I can tell, and don't take this as a negative. It's a positive. that you guys have a lot of younger people coming in, and we're starting to see that little changes in the magazine, and I like it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So, well, this is great. You can find it all at cronofhorse.com. Thank you so much, Lisa, for being here again.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I don't know that Pam has gotten back yet to do a little consultation here. So if
that's
you want to call,
right.
We have a few minutes. We have 347-637-3238. If you want to give us a call, we would appreciate talking to you for a minute or two. And I just heard from Wayne who said, well, it might be too late, and if Wendy's here tomorrow, maybe we could set it up for then if Jamie's still not back. So maybe we'll do that.
You know what? I want Jamie to get better. I really do. But I still love the real
badass.
I'm going to look for some today now that I'm in Sarasota, because outside of Sarasota, like if you go west Arcadia, it is like it's like really bad ad central, I'm sure.
I do like these digital magazines. They're so much
all
fun to play with.
All you residents of Arcadia, please email your hate mail to Wendy at horseradionetwork.com.
Right.
Are you kidding? As much as Jamie butchers the outlying areas of Arizona, I mean, Arcadia is no
I'm
big deal.
I'm not lying. They know what it's like out there. I mean, come on. You know, look, I can say this. I lived in L.A. for 4 years, L.A. being Lower Alabama, Bonifay, Florida. Okay, you cannot get – if you want really bad ads, I'll call my friend in Bonifay and have her send some in. It's, like, horrible. But they know. They know they're like that.
Well, we certainly appreciate you filling in today, Wendy. We have another show to do, you and I.
I know. I can't wait.
So we're going to go off and we're going to do the driving radio show and get that out for everybody today. We appreciate everybody joining us. Thank you so much to Wendy for filling in, and we hope that Jamie is better tomorrow. I'm sure she went back to bed. I'm sure she's not listening. She went back to bed and she's probably sound asleep. And we hope that we do see her tomorrow. If not, I'll probably be calling you again tomorrow morning, Wendy.
All right, great. I'll make sure I'm around this time.
All right, so I don't disappoint Jamie. I'll say it. Spay, neuter, and geld. And if you need to do that, you can call Wendy if you're in the Sarasota area because she can do that. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Jennifer.